listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Now, let's talk about the sentiment associated with things like votes, MVPs. Because really, I used the word sentiment a second ago, but it's really not sentiment, is it? I guess it's how you feel about the teams or the likelihood they're going to win, but that's a tight window. Have you ever seen like a true professional on Monday of the football week go, oh my gosh, I know Team A is going to win. It's the surest thing I felt in a year. And then 4 days later, you know something? I'm sure Team B is going to win. I mean, those guys wouldn't last a couple weeks, right? You don't see that. It's a tight window of sentiment. It usually goes from, I'm not going to bet this game to, I'm going to make a small bet on it. It's that range. Now, not much has happened in the last month or so that you would say, boy, that James Harden's a lot better than I thought, or he's a lot worse. But the sentiment's changed.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. Stat mining fatigue is the term that I would put on it. At first, we were all super excited. James Harden, 30 points a game. This is amazing. And then after we started watching him and he keeps shooting so much, and the like, by January 24th, he peaked in terms of public sentiment. He was a 5-1 favorite. You had to risk $500, RJ, to win 100 on Harden to win the MVP. And then the stock started to crash.
So think about that. So minus 500. There's never been a title team. I'm just going back through my mind. Entering any playoffs that I can think of. So NHL playoffs, baseball playoffs. You've got a narrow group of teams. Have you ever seen a minus 500 favorite entering a playoff in a major sport?
University of Connecticut women's basketball. That's the only one.
That was a good pull.
That was.
All we got to do is turn that mic off now and again.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's going to be like, I'm here kind of to deliver. I should probably deliver. Kudos, Fez. Steve Fezzik. All right. In the major sports, though.
Never.
No gender bias. Okay. So you're saying Harden was a bigger favorite. What was the exact date?
January 24th.
Not that long ago. To win the MVP than any team has ever been in the modern era to win a title entering their playoffs.
Correct.
All right. And let's call 1980 the modern era. And now, what's Harden's odds?
Now he's a 2-1 underdog.
All right, go ahead.
So before, on January 24th, you had to risk 500. If you risk 500, you get 100 back. If you risk that same 500 now, you get 1,000 back, 10 times more money.
You know what's amazing? I would have said it exactly the same way. Fez is having a heck of a first segment. And he was suspended for 3 minutes of it. 500 bucks risked. Couple weeks ago, I call it a month almost. All right, 500. How much then? You would win 100. Now you'd win 1,000. So the payoff on Harden has gone 10x.
Even though his performance has been somewhat comparable.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Fez. This shows you guys, in the NBA playoffs, you're picking about an objective factor. Your assessment of it is subjective, but you're picking, predicting, handicapping an objective result. Here, you're predicting sentiment. And what we know for sure is humans have their ups and downs a lot more than objective facts do. So what's the takeaway lesson? Simple. If you're betting something that involves sentiment, look to bet the swings, because it's never, sentiment rarely is as good as it is as its best, meaning that the reality, usually sentiment is above even the best a team is when they're playing well and below when they're not playing well, or if it's a player or whatever we're talking about. Oh, by the way, who's favorite now?
Giannis, the Greek freak, is favorite. He's minus 250, so you have to risk $250 to win 100 on Giannis.
Now, this is a weird question. What has Giannis done? We just said Harden's pretty much playing the same. What has Giannis done differently in the last month?
He had a really good All-Star game. His team lost.
Whoa. You're saying the losing player in an All-Star game is why he's now the favorite to win the MVP of the entire league?
And Milwaukee is more likely to get the number one seed in the East since they just beat Boston.
You know what? So that one, but this was the case 3 days ago. It wasn't that different, was it?
Yeah, they got a 2-game lead now. So really,
lead. What you're saying is you have no idea.
It's all about Harden.
And but you just said Harden really hasn't changed his quality of play all that
much.
It's
all the perception of what Harden's doing.
The fact that Fezzik's trying to answer questions that don't have good answers is the point. There are no good answers. If you feel like you've got a good feel for the ebbs and flows of sentiment in people, the betting you should be looking at is the voting, because oftentimes there's no rhyme or reason. Harden was a big favorite to win the MVP a month ago. Now he's an underdog. No rhyme or reason to it.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
RJ, the LA Lakers started off the post-All-Star break with a big win over the Houston Rockets last Thursday night. Lakerland was ecstatic. They were pumped up. LeBron was activated. And then over the weekend, they went to New Orleans and they lost to the Pelicans without Anthony Davis. Now there's some concern as the Lakers tip off at 8 Eastern time at Memphis later on tonight. Where does Vegas stand on the current situation of the Lakers?
Boy, this just fits right in, because in the first segment, what did we talk about? If you're voting, which is kind of funny to say, if you're betting on the vote of the MVP, you better take the human condition into consideration. What do we know about the human condition? Highs and lows, ebbs and flows. When it comes to handicapping an individual game, nothing really happens between that game, the beginning of your handicap, and the game itself, because you're handicapping the next game a vast majority of the time. Fez, real quick, the time maybe this isn't the case is the Super Bowl, whereas there's only four potential matchups when you get to the championship round, AFC-NFC, and you'll see those projected lines. So in a way, you're handicapping a week ahead, and the swings you tend to see in those lines are bigger than usual swings because recency bias. You see something in that championship game, it's like, oh my God, Carolina, you're not going to stop Cam. He's finally coming in his own. Right? And you'll see those swings where you won't see those type of swings when there's a game announced or the line is out, and then there's time between then and the game. But in between, there's no other game. So there's not new information to cloud bettors' thinking. Would you agree with all that?
Agree strongly, and certainly a very big recency bias, especially the bigger the game, the more people that are watching it, overreaction.
And in football, usually Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football gets overreacted to, where the Lakers get a ton of attention. LeBron, ton of attention. We've seen an ebb and flow when it comes to the Lakers' playoff odds. And that's the question now. There's not a lot of debate. Is LeBron and the Lakers going to win the title? The question is, are they going to make the playoffs? Fez, it's laid out from the All-Star break till now. There's been two Laker games, right?
Just two.
But boy, oh boy, have there been swings.
Yeah, so going into the break, the Lakers were a small underdog to make the playoffs. The no was minus 140.
All right, so if you said no, they're not going to make it, you got to lay a little bit extra. If you said yes, you're getting some plus money. Kind of like when I bet you guys, I usually find a way to get plus money.
The big wins, yes.
So the RJ position in this case, getting the plus money, was yes, the Lakers would. The favorite was no. And this is entering the All-Star break.
Correct. So the Lakers, with the help of Scott Foster, I would argue, beat the Houston Rockets. And all of a sudden, oh, Lakers looked good. They impressed. The Lakers became a favorite to make the playoffs. They were minus 130, small favorite to make the playoffs based on one game.
All right, so you're very good at this. I mean, if it was a normal person, I'd break out the adding machine. But you don't need this. In general, broadly, at the original number we were talking about, when they were the Lakers were a underdog to make the playoffs, a favorite not to, what was the percentage on the Lakers when it was like -140, you know, vigorous percentage.
Yeah, so the Lakers were like 44% to make the playoffs.
Okay, so let's think of it like that. Before the or during the All-Star break, 44% chance the Lakers make the playoffs. Now, the second number was after the one big win. What was the chance of the Lakers making the playoffs then?
55%.
Think about that. There's 82 games in a season. The regular season. One win or loss, one binary, A or B, heads or tails, takes you from 44% chance to make the playoffs to 55 for the Lakers? Does that make any analytical, logical sense?
No, but it was public sentiment. That
No. We know it's public sentiment. I just want to objectively, if you want to hear what Fezzik was going to say, just get our podcast, because we spent 10 minutes talking about it in the first block. If you missed it, just search for RJ Bell on your favorite podcast player, Straight Out of Vegas. All right, so we can say that time, Fez. But there is no objective mathematical reason.
No.
How much do you think the change should have been? If it was 44% over the All-Star break, Lakers to make the playoffs, and then the Lakers pull that upset, in the Fezzik world, what would you say the odds go to?
Maybe make them 51%.
So really? You think that big of a jump?
Yes.
I wasn't thinking that.
Why? Is it just one win, or is it the symbolism of, oh, look, they can beat anyone when they're together?
And they were an underdog against a perceived top five NBA team.
Which is what I just said exactly.
Yes.
So, okay. I still think that's a lot, don't you, Brian?
Yeah, I was thinking closer to 3%.
Yeah, meaning going from like 44 to 47.
Yes.
All right. So even if you take the super optimistic, other psychological element, and it's not just the public thinking, oh, they can beat the Rockets, so who maybe they can beat almost anyone. Maybe the young players are thinking that. Maybe Fez is giving them some credit. But boy, what a swing. Now, the season didn't end there. There was another game. So now the second of 82 since the All-Star break. What happened, and then what happened to the odds?
They got blown out in New Orleans as a 7-point favorite. The Lakers lost by 13, and the Lakers became a monster underdog to make the playoffs. The no on the Lakers is now -250. Take back.
Whoa.
Yes, +200. Talk about an adjustment. So
a percentage chance
went down from 55% to 30%.
Okay, guys. Now just think about this for a minute. I mean, it's almost unbelievable. And it also brings up a point we won't belabor because it's an advanced point, and this is what the podcasts are for. But I went to finance school, went to Ohio State, and I graduated in 1992. And probably the founding tenet, the founding principle of finance at the time was efficient market theory. It's a fancy phrase. All it means is whatever is known is built into the price. So if a housing market is efficient, the housing market is going to know, oh, this house had termites a few years ago, and they changed some of the wood, but they might not have gotten all of it. So though the comp on this house might be $300K, it should really be 270. The market knows the information, and it properly prices the information.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.